Well, good morning, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, and welcome to Resurrection Sunday via the internet. We're excited that you're joining us, no matter what time of day it is, if you're in your pajamas or if you're in your Sunday best, whatever the case may be. Easter looks different this year, and we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. When we were deciding who was going to preach on this Sunday, Pastor Phil and I both kind of wanted to, so I offered to arm wrestle for it, and he declined that. And so we came to an agreement that we would both share just kind of a short message with you this morning. And so Easter is different and your message is different, and I think it's all good and God will be glorified. So I heard a story recently about a Muslim man in West Africa, very similar to the setting where we're coming from, who had given his life to Christ. And so he was talking with his Muslim buddies from his past life, and they were asking him why he decided to follow Jesus instead of Muhammad. And the man said this. He said, suppose you were going down the road and it suddenly forked in two directions and you didn't know which way to go. And there at the forks in the road were two men, one at each fork. One was alive and one was dead. He said, which one would you ask which way to go? I thought that was a pretty neat illustration of the resurrection. We serve a living God. Jesus is risen, and that is the reason that we are here this morning to celebrate. It is a fact, and this, I read this also in one of the commentaries, and I want to read it to you. It says, speaking of the resurrection, this is the fundamental importance in Christianity, both historically and doctrinally. As a fact indisputably proven, it was the crowning demonstration of the truth of all Christ's claims. He had repeatedly foretold it, and his enemies were careful to ascertain that he was actually dead and to guard the tomb for additional security. Yet he rose from the dead on the third day and appeared on 11 different occasions to numerous witnesses, convincing even those who were the most doubtful. And after 40 days, he ascended to heaven from the Mount of Olives. To this all-important fact, the apostles gave great prominence in their preaching. And so this morning, we celebrate the fact that our King is risen, that he is alive, and that is why we're here again. So in thinking through this Easter and how it's so different from the things of the past that we're used to, all of our traditions and the things that we love to do, as we celebrate Easter, I was doing some research on YouTube, and if you go, I was going to play a video, but I think it would make it too long, but if you go to YouTube and type in Kids Tell the Easter Story, you will see some pretty cute, amusing, and yet some very scary things as well, as you mix in the Easter Bunny. One of the little girls said, you know, they're talking about Jesus was put in the tomb, and then the Easter Bunny hopped out and started throwing eggs everywhere. Now, that's bad theology. And that's coming from children, of course, but I think if you were to survey many adults today, you would find that there's some pretty bad theology out there as well. So I was thinking through, what does Easter mean to me? And as I think back to my childhood, it usually meant a new outfit, something pastel and bright. It meant waking up early in the morning to search the house for my Easter basket that Mom had hidden, and it continued to get harder and harder each year. It meant the family being all together, going to church service. It meant a big meal after church and maybe an Easter egg hunt somewhere thrown in there as well. Now, all of those things are good and they're fine. And this year, again, we're different, probably for most all of those events. It looks different. But the thing is, those are not the focus. Those are a conduit to what? They're a conduit to our worship, to our reflection, our thanksgiving, that we serve, again, a living God, the King, who has conquered death, who has paid the price for our sins. And so if it doesn't lead to that, then there's something out of place and we have to re-examine what exactly we are doing. So this morning I want to just quickly read the resurrection account in Luke chapter 24. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to read verses 1 through 12. If you're there, let's read it together. Luke chapter 24, it says this, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead?" I love that line right there. Why do you seek the living one among the dead? "He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. Also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. Such a great account. I hope that you are a visual person like myself, and you can just play it out in your head as you think through just the emotion and things that those women must have felt, and as they weren't sure what had happened, and they thought maybe Jesus had been taken by the gardener or something like that, and then the angels appeared. Just what an incredible thing. But I love, like I said, that line where he says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And this is something that, for those of you who have never placed your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are without a doubt seeking life in things that will not bring it, in the dead. We can do all sorts of things. We can run after joy, happiness, peace, success, health, wealth, whatever it is. But none of that will ever bring the salvation that Jesus Christ can give us from our sins. And I think also that there's a lot of us believers who tend to get things mixed around, and we start to run after and get things out of order and go after some of the same things in a pursuit of making ourselves feel good or just out of ignorance sometimes. And we have to come back to Jesus, to our Lord Jesus Christ, to the gospel message, which is what we have celebrated this entire week as we think about the crucifixion of Christ, that horrible dark day, and yet it's such a joyous thing, really, that God would take all of that sin. In the Bible, sin equals death, and he put all of that on his Son, the Lamb without blemish, the one who did not deserve it, took it in my place and died that death. And yet it didn't end there, because 3 days later he rose from the dead victorious over those things. And now he offers that gift to us, that free gift of salvation, if we would only believe in that message, confess our sins, and turn to him. Now I want to read one more passage in Ephesians 2, if you'll allow, because this is just an incredible passage that really speaks of the same thing, but it puts us in the place with Christ as well. Because those of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Savior, we have also been resurrected to new life with him in that work that he did. So let's read this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And I'm not sure, but in the short time I've been here and preached, I think 3 or 4 times, I may have used this verse already 2 or 3 times, but just a great verse. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God," don't you love it when there's a "but God"? "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." Again, we are raised to life in Christ. It says, "By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ." Such a great passage that puts us into that whole resurrection story. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we also have been raised to new life with him. And that's what, when we celebrate, when we are baptized, that picture of being dead in Christ and then raised to new life as we come out of the waters. Just an incredible thing. I hope that encourages you this morning. I just want to leave you with this thought, and it's really my prayer that as this Easter Sunday being so different from the rest, that it without a doubt will be a memorable one that we will never forget. But my prayer is that it's not something we never forget because we were not able to partake in the traditions and the things that we love about Easter, but it, because those things, hopefully the lack of those things, will push us to reflect even more on the reality of who Jesus is and the death that he died and the new life that he gives us. So I pray that you will think on those things, and I pray that you will be blessed this day. Thank you very much.